In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. كل سنة وأنتم طيبين. النهاردة نبتدي بنعمة ربنا وبركة أمنا العذراء أول أيام النهضة. والثيم بتاع السنة دي كله على ال virtuous women from the Bible, from the Old and New Testament. Every one of these women had a characteristic virtue. يعني النهاردة مثلا دكتور يسري أرمانيوس ربنا يبارك في محبته هيكلمنا عن سوسنة. إحنا دايما لما نتكلم على سوسنة نقول عليها سوسنة العفيفة, سوسنة the chaste. So he will speak to us today about the virtue of chastity and purity, something that we all need in إحنا to pay attention to and to heed whenever it comes to this virtue in particular. ربنا يبارك في الدكتور يسري ويعوض تعب محبته, and will give us listening ears and obedient heart, so for us to live the life that's pleasing to God at all times. بشفاعة أمنا العذراء مريم وبأركة صلواتها لأجلنا. تفضل دكتور يسري.
It is so amazing and blessing to all of us when it comes to speaking about those holy figures from the Bible. And of course, we take advantage of celebrating the fast of our Holy Mother, the Mother of God, Saint Mary, to remember and to meditate about other female figures from the Bible. Actually, Susanna is one of them, and she is one of the probably most forgotten. Maybe because the story of Susanna, which was written in the book of Daniel, chapter 13, is not included in the print, the Bible print that we usually have at home, because this print actually was published by the evangelical churches in general. And the evangelical churches in general, they regard some books and some books in the Bible, or some parts of books in the Bible, like parts of the book of Daniel, like of secondary importance, and that's how they not deleted them, they didn't publish them included in the Bible that we have. But please, if you want to read the story of Susanna, please refer to the Orthodox Bible. The Orthodox Bible includes, which includes all those books and passages that were deleted from the Bible that we have at home. Or the Roman Catholic also edition, they have the same thing. What is special about Susanna actually? Susanna said something that is very similar to what Joseph the righteous in the Old Testament had said and done. It is better for me not to do it and fall into your hands than to sin against the Lord. What did she mean by that? Susanna was exposed to a very painful experience. Actually, that's the most or the hardest experience that any female would be exposed to. When two elderly people from the people from the Israelites approached her trying to lie with her or sleep with her. And that was exactly what happened to Joseph, if you remember. I'm sure that we all remember the story of Joseph that was written in the book of Genesis, chapter 39, when he was approached by his master's wife, and she tried to, or attempted to let him sleep with her. And he said to her, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So the story of Susanna the chaste, and chaste means here the undefiled, the pure, okay, uncontaminated, is very similar to the story of Joseph in one sense or the other. But there are some differences. Susanna was married. Joseph was not. Susanna lived with a husband and children and family. Joseph was abandoned by his brothers and his family and was kidnapped and lived in a foreign country as a slave. Susanna was little older, Joseph was little younger. But as we know, sin is sin. Temptation is temptation. The lady who approached Joseph was probably young. But here in the story of Susanna, it was two elderly people supposed to be mature, supposed to be wise, and used to work as judges among the Israelites. But still, temptation can fight anyone, young or old. That's why today we need to reflect a little bit more on a couple of things. What's going on around us these days? Because we live in a world of temptation, in a very weird world today, my dear brothers and sisters. This world is full of evil. The devil is not leaving anybody, young or old. Even those who are serving God may be even more vulnerable to slip and commit the most shameful sins, which is the sin of uncleanness, of adultery, of fornication. And see, we need today to open our eyes and look around, especially when it comes to younger generations, our children and grandchildren, and ourselves too. The second thing, we will go back and reflect on Joseph and Susanna and how they managed to stay clean and pure. What's going around us? I thought of just one answer to that question. What is going on these days? And I thought of one thing, that we now speak a different language. We are not speaking the same language we used to speak 30 and 40 and 50 years ago. I think the whole world has been going into a big revolution that's changing every aspect in our life. Would this affect and influence our spirituality? Yes. Would this affect our relationship with God? Of course. Unless we are so much alert and aware of what's going on around us. That's why I would like you to learn One more word today, because this is a key word against falling into sin, which is self-awareness. How do we communicate today? Examples, you know. Look what's each one of us, young or old, most likely is carrying a mobile phone. iPhone, BlackBerry, etc. You know, G4 or 4G. Computers, laptops, mobile phones, they can function as text, instant texting or messaging, chatting, emailing, sending video and clips. Photography now is improving a lot. I mean, you don't have to carry a film with you. Remember, maybe as recent as 10 years ago, you used to worry when you have a camera and go through security checks in the airports. Now you don't, because most cameras, if not all, are digital cameras. They don't have films. And the better, or the amount of pixels in the camera, the better the picture would be, or the images would be. But you know, the devil is taking advantage of all of that. What about social rooms that bring each other close to the other? Chat rooms, MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, etc. Tools. And nowadays, even the advances in technology would cost much less. You can send picture and sound over Skype, for example. Chat. Vodafone and etc., all these companies. And this, such technology can be a great blessing in many ways. But if we use it like how we use the internet today, it's going to be a disaster if we don't know how to use it well. Like anything else. And you know, the greatest gift from God that gave to man, human race in general, you know what is that? It's our body. Our body, our flesh, that carries the Holy Spirit, that carries the mind that can be so inventive and creative and constructive. But look how we spoil our bodies, corrupt our bodies, surrender our organs and members, surrender our natural instincts to the work of the devil. See? And this language that we use, young people talk all the time on chats with the New Urban Dictionary and so on. Is human nature the same? I think human nature is battling against three main things. The first thing that young people try to obtain today is what's called unrestricted freedom. The second thing our young people, and maybe all of us, are obsessed with is called experimentation. You try to experiment with everything. And the third thing is what's called as the new addictions. New addictions. Let us go to what's meant by unrestricted freedom. Actually, is freedom or slavery? Because actually, as we see, we shall see right now, freedom takes us into habits. Adat. We start to be habituated to do something over and over. At one point or the other, we may lose control over our habits, or we like to lose control over our habits because we love our bad habits sometimes. And that's how habits become patterns. And over the time, patterns become behaviors or actions. That's the most dangerous stage. When we get used to the wrong thing. Back to the story of Susanna. If you read it, it will tell you about two elderly men. And they used to commit adultery among the people of Israel. They used to sleep with young women. And as I say always, if you get used to sin when you are young, unless you fight sin while you are young, sin will follow you regardless of your age. Remember your youth. Remember your Creator during the years of your youth. Before the days come when you say, I have no pleasure. That's why our Lord is warning us today and saying, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever. Yes. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. A slave does not stay in the house of the Lord forever. We are staying in the house of the Lord because we are children and we call Him our Father. But when we commit ourselves to slavery, that's when we lose our right to be children. Unless we repent. Experimentation? Why not? Everybody likes to experiment with something. And unfortunately, parents encourage their children unintentionally to experiment with new things. Many of us. It's about curiosity, a natural instinct that we all have. We like to experiment. Experiment with alcohol, experiment with cigarettes, experiment with sex, experiment with gambling, experiment with other stuff. And then when we may fall in love with one or the other of those things. And that's the problem. We don't know. We would never know if I smoke the first cigarette and I fall in love with smoking, then I will be a slave to smoking, to nicotine. That's an example. One time I remember, long time ago, I received this letter from a 15-year-old girl. And she said, Last year was my first year of high school. So I guess I thought I was independent and I felt like I was on top of the world. People at my school talked freely about porn, sex, pornography. And that was something I had never been subjected to. I accidentally saw like 5 seconds, and it was playing in my mind for about a week, if not more. That's experimentation. This is a problem today. I'm just trying to reflect on how these two elderly men got older with those bad habits until they lost control over their desire and they lusted for a married woman. And they waited for the chance to rape her. What a crime. Our contemporary addictions, and I call them the new serpent, because it's all about what new technology is offering us today. How our young people fall in love with those things. Video, games, CDs, chatting, pornography, drugs, alcohol, etc. New addictions. And I wish that such addictions would make them happy. You probably heard earlier this year that our country loses 2 days a day. 2 individuals die every day of one thing only. It's a narcotic drug called OxyContin, painkiller. It kills, 2 individuals every hour. Actually, in Ohio, we lose 2 individuals every day, which is greater, much better, of course, where I live. But in the United States, 2 individuals die every hour because of one kind of addiction. Facts. 42% of the songs on the top CDs contained sexual contents. 19% included direct descriptions of sexual intercourse. On average, this is the music, this is how young people are listening to all the time, teenagers and young adults. Music videos contain 93 sexual situations per hour, including 11 hardcore scenes depicting behaviors such as intercourse and oral sex. Girls, and girls is important today to focus on girls because we are talking about a pure girl called Susanna, a lady. And I'm surprised today to see how many girls take it so easily to experiment with sex, and they call it love, unfortunately. Girls who watched more than 14 hours of rap music, which contains a lot of profanity. Rap music videos per week were more likely to have multiple sex partners and to be diagnosed with a sexually transmitted disease. Does this happen? Of course. May God protect our young girls and young people in general. Facts. Pornography can be addictive, with the individual becoming desensitized to soft porn and moving on to twisted and dangerous images of sexual bondage as in rape and homosexuality. When I say facts, it means that we have references to that. Research work, statistics. Pornography is a $13 billion a year business. And that's how we started to hear much more than you can imagine about something called addiction to sex. Horrible. That's how many families break up today, unfortunately. How many young people become lost, turned to crime and addiction and all kinds of perversion. Between Joseph and Susanna, let us, you know, have the common denominator, the common thing between Joseph and Susanna. There are many things are common among the two, you know, but one of them is about fleeing and resisting. If we get out of here with just remembering these two words, learning how to resist and learning how to flee. Let us start with Joseph facing temptation. Genesis 39:7-9. What does it say? And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. She desired him. And she said, lie with me or sleep with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. And everybody, of course, who reads those words said, probably many atheists these days, you hear them saying, I mean, it's so funny and laughable that Joseph finds a chance to sleep with his master's wife upon her request and would say no. Because that's how the world around us may think today. And we need, my brothers and sisters, to check with ourselves. If we were put in that situation one day, whether we are single or married, young or old, can we say no to sin? So, his conclusion, therefore, he said, how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? How then could I do that? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. Resistance. And then fleeing comes. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak, by his shirt, and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. ran out of the house, flee. That was exactly what St. Paul advised and commanded his disciple Timothy, asking him to flee youthful lusts. If we are facing and just thinking for a second, we may become so weak. And we all know that. We human beings know that, our human nature. But the reward was great. It says here, the Lord was Joseph and he was a successful man. Even when he went to prison, it says the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And you remember the rest of the story. The big reward. Joseph was the second man to rule over Egypt after Pharaoh. What a blessing. What a reward. Reward of self-control, of purity of heart, reward of resisting the evil. Now Susanna was put in a similar situation because the two elders rose up and ran to her saying, "Give us your consent and lie with us. If you will not," now they are starting to threaten her, "we will bear witness against you that a young man was with you." Oh, Lord. You know the outcome? They were judges. And they were elderly people. They will be heard. And she would be put into death. Then Susanna sighed and said, "I am straitened on every side. For if I do this thing, it is death for me." Yes. She considered adultery like death, and it is. "And if I do not, I will not escape your hands. But it is better," listen to those words, "it is better for me to fall into your hands and not do it than to sin in the sight of the Lord." Wow. What a great statement. You know, sex is pure. As you know, God created everything pure. Saint Clement of Alexandria says, "How can we be ashamed of talking about organs God was not ashamed of creating?" And Christianity is not against or anti-sex. It is against irresponsible sex. In other words, it is against ungodly sexual behaviors. Because God has put such an instinct in us, but to follow His plan and follow His commandment, to follow His design. Do this and you shall live. If you don't do that, then you shall die. To the pure, all things are pure. Titus 1:15. Now, a few words about this sin called adultery. Because it looks like it's one of our contemporary lifestyles. when you hear in this society where we live that almost 60 or 70% of men commit adultery after marriage, actual adultery, and maybe women like 30 or 40%. It's not the case, of course, in our church community, but we are still facing that kind of fight, temptation, to go with the wave and to with the stream, because everybody is doing that. What is the big deal? It's sex-obsessed society or culture sexuality. Society has debased and degraded and cheapened sexuality. Call it one night stand, hooking up, hit and run, adult entertainment, a fling, gentleman's club. It's like anything else, like going to attend a football game, for example. Just one night stand, an affair. And unfortunately, my dear brothers and sisters, some of us may give themselves excuses. Because I'm not happy with my marriage, I will give myself a permission to disobey God. And we can find many excuses these days. A man would say, my wife is not pleasing me. Or a wife may say the same thing about her husband. And that's how we see broken homes and broken families on the rise these days. Selfishness and shortcut solutions, human solutions, instead of seeking the right way to solve the problems. Adultery starts to form internally, especially when we look around, when we allow our eyes to see what we should not see. Or for ladies, it's about the ear. The lady who hears good stuff from a man at work, if she's not happy with her marriage, may get tempted. Let me be honest with you. That's why we need to focus on marriage. And I hope that tomorrow may be another chance to speak more about marriage and family when Christ is dwelling in our homes. Sin always promises happiness, but it never gives it. The devil always shows me the allure of sin without showing me the consequences. Those people whom we call womanizers are the most miserable people. You don't see them in their misery until they get older or become sick, when depression takes its tolls on them. Adulterers and womanizers, fornicators, none of them will inherit the kingdom of God according to the Bible. So be careful of outsiders. Pornography is pornography benign, for example, if you allow yourself. I did not touch any woman, I was just looking. Wherever your mind goes, your body will follow. Whatever is only virtual will only become physical or real. Yes. We keep looking until we start to get tempted to change fantasy into reality. Because if you fantasize about something and you keep doing that, at one point or the other, you may become so weak that you cannot resist. Susanna, the chaste. What's meant by chastity? Chastity is the condition or practice of abstaining from sex on moral or spiritual grounds. Does it apply to Susanna? Yes. But there is another aspect of chastity, and I'm talking to ladies and girls in general. Simplicity or plainness of style. Modesty. When ladies take care of their appearance and they do not intimidate young men especially to look at them sexually with lust, please be careful about that. You are making others stumble when you do not take care of what you, how you appear. Self-control also, being in charge and ability to control one's self-behavior. Chastity and self-control, it's really about sexual behaviors and attitudes. Purity of the body, purity of the heart, purity of the mind, and purity of the senses. Everything starts with the senses. Gets into our mind and start to play the game inside the mind. What you have been watching, what you have been listening to, is going to take its tolls in your mind later on. When you are alone by yourself, when you become weak for some reason or the other, and that's when you stumble. Senses are our major challenge, especially in today's world and technology. Prevention is always better than treatment. Remember what is in the Bible, it's not only seeing or hearing, remember also tasting and touching, all senses. Evil thoughts come from the heart. Are they avoidable? They might not be avoidable all the time, but can be resisted, and you can flee them. So the stages of committing a sin starts with sensation, sensory reception, forming a brain image, then the body reaction, of course, and then the mind interaction, contemplation of committing a sin, and then the action, five stages, reception, imaging, reaction, interaction, and then sinning. Very important to remember. And then look into the reward that Susanna got. Hilkiah was her father. Therefore, when she proved, as you know, the rest of the story, Daniel the prophet was a young man at that point. And he confronted the two elderly with their accusations of Susanna. And through the Spirit of God, he felt that they were lying. They were not telling the truth. So he asked them to be separated from each other and asked each one question. Where did you see Susanna committing adultery? One of them described one place, and then the other described completely different place. And they were convicted to the death penalty. And Susanna came out of that clean and clear. Hilkiah and his wife praised God for their daughter Susanna with Joachim, her husband, and all the kindred, because there was nothing shameful was found in her. And this is the reward. When we stand before God the last day, please remember that we don't need to stand before Him in shame like our grandfather and grandmother Adam and Eve. But through the blood of Christ, through the cross, through His unconditional love and unconditional forgiveness and acceptance, He can cleanse us with His blood. All what we need is just to go to Him, kneel down, pray, and repent, and confess our transgressions, and He will accept us so that we can have a new start, determined to resist the evil and to flee from the evil one until the last minute of our life. Glory be to God, now and forever. Amen.